Welcome. This is Chris McGregor. Discerning Hearts now brings you, during this Lenten season 2020, which is occurring during the global coronavirus pandemic, a daily reflection by Monsignor John Essif. Over the course of the next 30 minutes or so, he will reflect in the beginning on the scriptures of the day, and then we will have a conversation about what is occurring in the world, in the church, and in our own personal lives. We now present Monsignor John Essif. Good morning, Monsignor. How are you doing today?
Good morning. Terrific. Thank you. Thank you very much.
There are a lot of people out there wondering how your eye is doing because they heard that you're getting a shot in your eye.
Yeah, it was really sore. It always is after I receive a shot in my eye, and I was weathered the storm, and thank God, I got up this morning and the pain was gone, and it also gives me a greater vision. It dries up the hemorrhaging behind the eye that will cause me blindness. So I have every 5 weeks I take the shot, and it's a real gift. It's a tremendous gift. Thank God.
Oh my gosh, there's a homily in there. You had this clouded vision, you have to suffer through pain, and then boom, you have clarity.
That's it.
I don't mean to simplify it. I'm not trying to make a joke, God forbid. But I mean, it's just so, isn't that what we have to go through sometimes? It clouds up, and not even sometimes of our own fault maybe, but we have to go, we got to get that spiritual shot.
That's what desolation means too. And when you go through it, how really important it is to go through desolation at times, that you can enjoy the consolation and enjoy the sunshine. Thank you. Yes.
What's on your heart today, Monsignor?
Well, today I was absolutely amazed last week, you know, at least from the beginning, and today's Saturday, that day after day I would be amazed at what I learned from that day, the new measures that had come out, the this monster, the coronavirus, is such a devastating entity. It's like a monster that's bringing us all together on this planet. And I was constantly surprised at the new measures that were being taken so as to try and control it and to try and bring it to the point where we could overcome this new attack on all of mankind. It was a pandemic, and it wasn't a kind of a hydrogen bomb that's going to blow up the entire universe. This is a microorganism that's brought us all down to our knees, and we have had to huddle together on this little planet so as to be able to defeat this new enemy that has come against us. And it's a tremendous warfare, and it has brought us all to a deeper and deeper and closer awareness of God, who is our Savior and someone who can protect us at this particular time of history.
You know, Monsignor, I saw something shocking today on post on Facebook. Facebook has become quite a means for many people to communicate with one another during these times. And there was someone who posted and this is a spiritual writer, somebody who's written spiritual writings in the past, who said, "Why are we decimating the economy that supports millions for people who are older and who are sick and who are going to die anyway? Why are we destroying the economy for that? Is it really worth it?" And he was serious.
Mm-hmm.
And I stepped back and I thought, have we become that way? It was shocking to me that, you know, for years there's been certain elements that, you know, we cry out about abortion and that is wrong. But isn't it wrong too? I mean, because...
But I think it's part of that euthanasia concept that really the elderly are those that really need to be clipped off. They're useless and they really don't have any productive capacity or very minimal. And we should stay and take care of those who are those who produce. You see, it goes in and it fits with the philosophy and of materialism. And it may not be an atheistic materialism that and we'll say, well, there is no God, but it really amounts to that because it has about it the spirit that there is nothing else except this world. This world, if that's all there is, then it does make sense. And so what are we really saving these elderly for? And our parents and whatever that means about love and caring for one another, you know, we'll have to put that aside, and especially for the good of mankind to go on and just care for ourselves and that which will produce a happier and a more pleasant life for those who are here. And if you just see, you know, I really am convinced that I believe in the spiritual world, that is God. There is a God who is a spirit. Do I see him? Yes. And do I recognize him as the maker of heaven and earth? Yes. And so God, and does he have a son whose name is Jesus? Do I believe that? And can I see him? Not with the eyes of I can see him with the eyes of faith, and I can see the truth and that he existed. But is that person Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Mary? Is that who he really is? And do I believe in the Holy Spirit? I do. He's a spirit, and he's not a materialistic creation. And do I believe in the world of angels? Do I believe in devils? Yes, but they're spirits. And so the truth of 90% of reality, if you're going to really deal with the real world, is spiritual. And so the material world that is around us, many, many of us and who are on the planet, those of us especially who believe in that spirit world, I really believe are the reason why we have become so suffering in this world. You know, I speak now with you to that group of people who say they are Christians. You are the biggest reason why we are suffering so much. And I include myself with you. We are the reason why. And today, Jesus tells a story about two men who go up to the temple to pray. And I really believe he's talking about me. It's in the Gospel of Luke. It's the 18th chapter, the 9th to the 14th verse. Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own religious righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. Now that wasn't addressed to God. Oh God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes on my whole income. But the tax collector stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beating his breast, prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Today, as I look at the monster that is the coronavirus, what have I done, me, John Esef, for the pus in the world? And I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned in my thoughts. The many a time I judge and despise others. I heard a commentator the other day, and he was looking at the bathers in Florida. And I must admit, I was swept along. And I thought, look at them. There they are. They don't give a damn about what they're communicating, those young people. And I have sinned many times. It's not only that commentator, it's in me. I judge others constantly, over and over and over. It's in me. I judge. I look up and I see this priest around me, and I think, he's a jerk. You know, he doesn't understand anything. And I really judge them in my heart and mind. Oh God, I have sinned in my thoughts. I don't say it. Well, I wear a mask of righteousness. But if I really and truly believed that I am Christ in the world and that I can have his mind, not John Esef's mind, that is, what is that going to do to anyone? But I can actually begin to see with the eyes of Jesus, that I actually can begin to love with the heart of Jesus. I am conceived in him through baptism. I'm united with him in confirmation, sealed. I am also one with him in the Eucharist that I will take today, his body, his blood, his soul, his divinity will flow through me. I have sinned, O Lord, in my thoughts, in my deeds, in my actions, my omissions, and so often I fail to reflect to my neighbors and to all the people around me what has happened to this entire universe. Is those who are Christians, and I address this especially to the bodies of those who are Christians today, the reputation we have had. No, we are not like the Pentecost fire of those who came down into the world, like Peter, aflame with the divine love. We're like the Peter of old. We're not like the Stephen who was so on fire with divine love in the Acts of the Apostles. You see, we're like the apostles and the people of the Gospels, pre-Pentecost. And even during this time of Lent, we're not a 40-day people. We're a 90-day people. We really go right up to Pentecost. We need to have this divine fire of love in our hearts. It was Pentecost that was the birthday of the church. Our birthday as Christians, Protestants, Catholics, Orthodox, is Pentecost. It's when the Holy Spirit came upon these broken individuals and they were transformed by the Holy Spirit. Each of us is being transformed by the Holy Spirit into that body that is Christ. And so what is what's happening in the world today? The coronavirus, it is assisting us and taking us each into transforming us again into a unit, into that body. I have to admit my sinfulness unless we become one in Him. And that's the potential. That's what Jesus had in mind when He came and suffered and died and rose in the year 33. When He went back to heaven, He had such a beautiful vision of the 7 billion people on our planet that each of us is a potential Christ. And so, you Muslims, when I see you so devoutly going to the shrine of Saint Charbel, you're not far from that union with a spirit, a saint, who was, who do you find in Charbel? Jesus. Charbel radiated Jesus. And you go to his shrine and you find there renewal, because it is only in Jesus and through Jesus and with Jesus. We have to teach hagiography in a different way, that when we have a saint like Francis, it's Jesus in Francis. When we have a saint like Mother Teresa, it's Jesus in Mother Teresa. She became him. He became her. There's no sex in Christ, male or female. We are all one body. There's no Jew and Gentile. There's no Chinese. And there's no American. We are all one body. If we began to see with the eyes of Christ, each of us will begin to see with the eyes of this man who is here in this, oh Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner.
That is so powerful, Monsignor. I think that really gives, it really takes a pause, because this is what Lent's all about, isn't it? I mean, it's
yes.
Looking in to us first. It's that whole look at the plank in your own eye before you see it in your brother's eye.
Back in your brother's eye, true. You see, and even in the days of the Old Testament prophets, we have a reading today that is so beautiful. Did the Jews know this? Sure they did. And their prophet, Hosea, has a beautiful teaching for us today. It's a reading from the prophet Hosea. It's the 6th chapter, the 1st to the 6th verses. Come, let us return to the Lord. It is He who has rent, but He will heal. You see, God has made us suffer with this virus, this coronavirus, but He wants to use this to heal us. He has struck us. He will bind us and our wounds. He will revive us after 2 days. And we've been talking, you know, we'll get through this. Is that what it is? He will revive us, hopefully, more deeply to himself. On the third day, he will raise us up. You see, through this suffering and dying, there's going to be a resurrection. The Paschal mystery, the life of Jesus, is not the story that we're all dearth bags. You see, the story of the history of the church for these 2,000 years, when the first age of Christianity came to realize that it was Christ, it converted the pagan Roman world into the magnificent church of Jesus Christ. The magnificent world began in the next era of the Desert Fathers. It created the world, the magnificent eras. It's had its ebbs and its tides throughout history. And we have all seen how we can live in the presence of God and with him and through him and in him. Let us know. Let us strive to know the Lord as certain as the dawn is his coming, and his judgment shines forth like the light of day. He will come to us like the rain, like a spring rain that waters the earth. What can I do with you, Ephraim? That was the southern kingdom. What can I do with you, Judah? Your piety is like a morning cloud, like the dew that early passes away. For this reason, I smote you, and through them, all their peoples. I slew them by the words of my mouth, for it is love that I desire, not sacrifice, and knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. God wants us to come again to know his love through this suffering, through this coronavirus. God has visited his people. Through these deaths, there will be resurrection. Through this suffering, there will be peace and love. And on the third day, it's still the same story. I will rise. You see, you are not being called just to suffer, because I am your Father and I love you. I want to bring all of you into a new world. The world that I designed for your good. I created you because I love you, and you have run far from me. But I love you. I gave you my son. How much do I love you? And he died for you. And I sent him to die for you. So much do I love you. And he is in you. And you will not die. You will live eternally with me.
Monsignor, what would you say to that soul now that is not in fear of dying, that is trying to prevent the spread of the disease to ones they love, and yet they're not fearful of being hit by the virus hard, And in their hearts, they're watching the news today, and there is the great rumble that is beginning to occur about the economy and about how what we're doing is disastrous and la-da-da-da-da-da. I don't mean to make light of it, but it's, and you know it would rise up at one point. What would you say to that soul that is beginning to become allowing that that fear to be able to, consuming them?
Because that fear comes and is part of our human nature. That fear has the publican bend over and has face on the ground. And this is what I believe I should say to him and can say to him: have mercy on me, O God, in your goodness. In the greatness of your compassion, wipe out my offense. Thoroughly wash me from my guilt, and of my sin cleanse me. It is mercy I desire, not sacrifice. I would say that's really our Father, who sees us in especially when you come to know. I know this in the deepest part of my heart, that I have contributed to our misery. For you are not pleased with sacrifice. Should I offer a burnt offering, you would not accept. My sacrifice, O God, is a contrite spirit, a heart contrite and humbled, O God, you will not spurn. The state that he's asking us to have is that cry of Jesus on the cross that pierced through to his Father. Alohi, Alohi, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you abandoned me? Psalm 22 came from the deepest part of Jesus' heart as he cried out for all mankind. And I believe that many, many of us who are experiencing the cross now are crying out in the midst because you are on the cross. And especially those of us who have contracted, whoever is in mankind, and if you have contracted the coronavirus, cry out to him. Cry out. Cry out. And God will hear you, because it is the cry of an innocent man or woman. Thank you. That's a good question.
A final thought, Monsignor?
Have mercy on me, O God. It is mercy I desire, not sacrifice. God bless.
Thank you, Monsignor. Yeah, daily health check. How are you feeling? I know we talked about it in the beginning, but you feeling good?
I think so. I'm through another day, and here I am. And we just got a notice here at the villa that we are not to go out. And I find that difficult to keep. So I have some people coming to go to confession. And this poor girl who's calling me she comes from some distance. But people want to come and just to go to confession. And they're coming from many miles. But they do see the need of confession.
Wow. Confession in the day of social distancing.
Yes. And then I'll just sit on the porch there and I'll wear a mask and instead of a screen, and I'll hear their confession.
Well, Monsignor, no hugging. I don't mean to be bossy. No hugging.
No, no.
You're a hugger. No hugging.
No.
Okay. Sorry, I'm not trying to be your mother. I'm just trying to.
Thank you.
All right. We just love you so much. I know there are a bunch of people out there thinking, don't hug him, Monsignor. Don't hug him.
Okay. God bless.
Love you, Monsignor.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Thank you, Monsignor. We'll pray for you when you're at the doctor's office today getting your eye shot. I hope it's not too painful.
Thank you. God bless.
You've been listening to Reflections by Monsignor John Essif, Lent 2020. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com, and in particular, please share this particular reflection with them during this difficult period in the life of the church and of the world. And join us next time for Reflections with Monsignor John Essif.